going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Not bad, Dan. Not bad. For those that were not listening during the break, because we know you can't, Dan DeVone was doing radio play-by-play of...
Hi again, everybody, and welcome.
The game on television, Indiana against Milwaukee. Pretty damn good.
Watch out, Timmy Roy.
He's coming for you. That's... Well, I mean, you have a high standard for broadcasters of all ages. And of all levels, quite frankly. And so it was nice to hear you put in some work. I love the description of the overplay by Nembhard. And here come the Pacers in there in transition. Right corner three thrown on the way by Nembhard and on the way for Mathurin. Oh, it's in and out, and Giannis grabs the rebound.
Well, you know, basketball is so much fun because it's easier to do, I think, because it's so action-packed and you can get into those rhythms, right? And I think that, again, why I always say baseball is so much more difficult is because there's so much lag and you have to somehow entertain or keep people on the edge of their seats in between pitches. That's why, you know, with the Ernie Harwells and you talk about a lot of those guys are from the South. They have that ability to spin stories. And it's just like somebody gathering around the old porch with the iced tea and just listening to somebody who's pleasant to listen to telling you a story for 4 hours.
So actually, I think baseball is a little easier now because of the pitch clock. So you have an understood amount of time between pitches that you have to get your information. And basketball is just, it's just up and down. And you really have to read that wave of energy, which is generally supplied by the crowd, I think, more than anything else. And so it's kind of a feel thing. And you don't have time to tell stories. You don't have much time to get stats in. And basketball is played so fast nowadays that you really have to be on top of your P's and Q's. Like the Pacers, for example, play one of the fastest brands of basketball in the NBA. The Warriors play, I think they're kind of middle of the pack, upper pack in terms of pace. But then you get a team like the Clippers that just slow it down and grind you out. So you really have to read your team that you're calling the game for.
You know, really quick before we move on, Adam Amin, he does the Bulls play-by-play.
Yeah, he's great.
You have to see the half-court shot he has or the call he has when Josh Giddey hits the half-court to beat the Los Angeles Lakers. Just like the last, I think it was 12 seconds when they make this remarkable comeback, one of the best games of the year. And he does it with Stacey King, who is, I know Stacey King is not somebody that's, by the way, when you talk about Steve Kerr and that other side of Steve Kerr, that people think he's the guy next door and politically correct and just a really nice, cerebral, academic.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. And just mention the name Stacey King to Steve Kerr, and I guarantee you'll see blood in his eyes. Stacey King knocked him out, I want to say, of the Final Four at the University of Arizona, and he probably still stays up four nights a week rehashing and replaying that Oklahoma game. And then in the NBA, Stacey King played with the Bulls, and sure enough, he and Steve Kerr would get into it, fisticuffs. He has hated that guy going way back to their collegiate days.
There's also particular teams that if you bring up, you can kind of hear, and he'll do it unprompted. Like it was when they were playing the Jazz earlier this year, and someone asked him a question. It was a former player who he knew, and someone asked him a question about his take on where the league is going and the amount of talent and skill. Because I think J.J. Redick had a quote about how it's the most talent that there's ever been. You know, they'd play guys in the 80s off the floor, something like that. And Kerr kind of agreed with him. And he just takes a shot at, like, the Jerry Sloan Jazz teams that he played against in the finals. He's like, well, you know, it's... I agree. You know, the skill nowadays, you have to be able to run and shoot and pass and do all these things that, I mean, you really didn't have to do when you were setting illegal picks back in the 1990s. And he's like going after Hornacek and all these guys that he'd have to check in the finals. And he's like, yeah, that's like he's on record as calling John Stockton a dirty bastard. Like, I mean, he just, you can really hear when it comes out. And it's always around playoff time, too. He is a competitive maniacal person. Well, if you really get into it,
to bring it back to this series, one thing I always pay attention to, it's kind of weird, is after a game when Steve Kerr goes over to dap up the opposing coach, and there's that 6 degrees of separation in the NBA where everybody sort of knows everybody. It's sort of incestuous. Like, there's players that were on his staff, and whether it's Willie Green or Mike Brown, and you can just see the joy, even if whether it's a win or loss, they have this friendly moment. Watch with him and Udoka. There's no love lost. Like, usually with every coach, whether he knows him or not, there's just sort of, you know, they blow into each other's ear. Udoka is about as abrupt as it gets with Steve Kerr. Not that the two don't like each other, but I don't think there's any common ground there. Like, I don't think, and I think that's one of the beauties of Udoka, who does not care if the fraternity of coaches in the NBA do not like him. Like, I don't think he subscribes to that at all. I think he's sort of the guy on the outside looking in.
I don't think Kerr really cares about that either. I mean, he's maybe at face value a more, you know, likable person. I think he does a pretty good job in media. He never buries anybody. He doesn't go out of his way to start feuds with opposing coaches or players. In fact, a lot of times he'll try and calm those fires. But, like, he don't care what people think about him. And, I mean, we just heard in his clip about Kuminga, I also appreciate the honesty that and just the frankness with which he speaks. And that's obviously afforded to him because he's a four-time champion just as a head coach. He's got 9 rings. But Kerr will tell you bluntly what he feels. And from there, it's just completely up to you to decide whether or not you agree with it. And he's also, he's pretty honest about, hey, I could be wrong, but... And he has every right, by the way, to throw his 9 rings in your face whenever he wants, and he doesn't do it. That's another thing that I do appreciate about him.
I think we're both on the same page that we can appreciate what it is that he's doing from a coaching standpoint.
Yeah.
Because he's not appeasing anybody but himself. It's not the fans. It's not coach out in Vallejo or the caller on line 3. He's doing what he thinks is best for the Golden State Warriors to win another NBA championship.
And that's where I think you do see
I disagree
see the,
with it.
Yeah.
I want to be on record. I disagree with it, but I can respect the process.
Well, I think that's where you see the influence of some of the great coaches that he's had. Lute Olson back at Arizona, Greg Popovich, Phil Jackson, obviously. Those guys were collaborative, but at the end of the day, it's their way or the highway. Like, those head coaches decided which way their rotations, the game plan, the adjustments were going to go. And Steve Kerr's got, I think he's got a pretty collaborative and intelligent coaching staff. Terry Stotts has been a head coach. Jerry Stackhouse just came from Vanderbilt, where he was a head coach in college. You know, he's obviously had Mike Brown under his on his staff. Kenny Atkinson, who might win Coach of the Year in Cleveland this year. Like, he's had a lot of brilliant minds on his bench, but at the end of the day, Steve Kerr's going to make that final call. He'll weigh what he has to, and I think he's pretty invitive of opinions. But I'm sorry, if he thinks that there is one way to win a series, it's going to be Steve Kerr's way. You know. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings, Dan Devone, Warriors This Week. AJ is in Los Angeles. AJ, thanks for hanging on patiently. How you doing, man? Good morning.
Hey, what's going on? Good morning. Happy Saturday afternoon. I think one of you guys mentioned that the Houston Rockets are really excited that Jonathan Kuminga is not playing, especially a guy like Jalen Green and Amen Thompson, guys who JK knows very well, who is a defensive nightmare for those guys and has already proven that, you know, JK is probably the key component who can match with everything that the Rockets do and put them in big trouble. So for them, stylistically, I believe that they are cherishing this opportunity to play the Warriors in this dynamic. I do not believe that the locker room for the Warriors is in good shape because of this Kuminga RDU. But who knows? We'll see what happens. But at the end of the day, there's a few reasons why JK is not playing, and it has nothing to do with his game. I understand the smear campaigns, but the reason why he's not playing is because he did not sign that deal that they put on the table this past offseason. It has nothing to do with his style. The reason why Moses Moody is playing is because he signed that awful deal this offseason, and Pies is playing. His contract is low. He'll never demand a max contract. So it makes sense that he is playing and having a lot of minutes. And at the end of the day, Steve Kerr didn't really trust Moses Moody like that. You know, he's probably not a big fan of Moses Moody. I mean, we've seen the inconsistencies of how Moses Moody have gotten minutes when he's been one of the best players on the floor, even defensively, and he's been shut down. So I don't know. I don't know. I mean, Jason Tatum, it wasn't this fundamental or stylistic reason why Jason Tatum was placed on the bench. There, every coach in this league could have played Jason Tatum in the offseason and still won a gold medal. You know, 98% of the coaches in this league could take this Golden State roster with KD, Klay, Steph, and Draymond and win the championship. I mean, no disrespect to Steve Kerr, but you need great players to win, guys. You need great players to win. The Warriors, there's a good chance they're not going to win this series. One, because they don't have the talent overall to beat them. But two, I believe that Steve Kerr is going to get in the way of himself. And that's probably...
Oh, sorry, you cut off there, AJ. Point taken, though. We appreciate the call.
You're right. You're getting into a meditative state?
Well, I don't want to open up this can of worms.
Yeah, well,
I know we did it in the last segment, but
it was supposed to be relegated to one segment.
I know. Kuminga is not playing, not because he didn't sign a contract. They're not trying to suppress his value. That's a conversation for the offseason. I don't want to open up the conspiracy theories about why he's not playing. Fact of the matter is he's not playing. If he plays in game one or game two, the next time we see each other, we'll talk about it. How about that? Okay.
Can I say one last thing?
Go for it. Or I knock you out.
What scares me about the decision here, I shouldn't say scare, that might be too powerful of a word, but usually these things are matchup based. It's like he didn't fit against the Clippers, whatever it is that you saw in that Clipper matchup.
Sure.
But what Steve Kerr is telling you is that he's not fitting in or he's not matching up with his teammates. So that's telling me that they're going to stay status quo, and I don't expect to see a lot of them against the Houston Rockets. And I, again, the last thing I'll say, if I can just go on record, huge, huge mistake of sitting your most athletic, one of the youngest players that can get you points on the bench for a series that is screaming for someone like that of Jonathan Kuminga. Enough said.
Okay. I would also push back. I hear him on the talent aspect of this, like just stacking up the rosters, looking at these two teams. The Houston Rockets absolutely are loaded with talented players, but to me, I wouldn't say they're more talented than the Warriors. They're younger. They're different. And there's more potential in that roster, but it's right now it's undiscovered, relatively speaking. I do think, and you brought this up about OKC, I think the Warriors can win this series. I'll tell you why I believe they will win the series in our final segment at 11:30. But if you don't beat them this year, you ain't getting them next year.
Houston or OKC or both. Yeah, I agree.
If you don't get Houston now and knock them off in their first real chance at a postseason push, they might be a little bit ahead of schedule. You ain't beating them in the near future. Because Jalen Green's 22. Shengun's 22. Jabari Smith's 23. Amen Thompson's 22. They got a bunch of young 20-somethings, and a few of them are already under contract and lock and key. You ain't beating this team now, you ain't going to get them in the next 5 years.
I couldn't agree with you more. Not to mention that they got draft capital, so whatever it is that they feel that they are missing, they can go out and get. Whether it's Kevin Durant, yeah, they can go out and get those guys. So the door's ajar a little bit. They can get got, I think, this year, including OKC. I know you disagree with me on that, but again, when you think about what it is that we saw with Moses Moody and Brandon Pajemski, because I was Steve Kerr, that lineup with Pajemski at the two, Moses Moody at the swing, and then the front court of Draymond Green, Butler, obviously Steph at the point. I mean, the numbers don't lie. They've been very good. But there's the regular season, and then there's the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's the big games that are postseason-esque, like that of the Clippers, like that against Memphis. And I'll tell you right now that both Pajemski and Moody did not look like the same players. And why? Well, because it's a little different when you're on center stage and the lights are in your eyes and everybody's watching. All of a sudden, it's like, where are you, Draymond? Daddy, where are you? I got to give you the ball because I'm a little frightened right now. And it's a very, very different animal. And if that's what you can expect from Moody and Pajemski, and it's not a knock on them, like there's a rites of passage to get to the NBA finals or to win in the postseason. You need battle scars. They don't have them. The other three do. And that's why, again, I think this is a series where Jonathan Kuminga needs to play, because suddenly those two guys I don't think can be relied upon as much as they have been in the last month to 2 months of the season. But Pajemski was giving you like 28 a game for a little while there.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's a little bit different when you think about the postseason, especially what Houston's going to do to you defensively. Those shots aren't there. And if you start thinking about it and you start getting the yips, then you're going to go back to Pajemski, who was so disappointing in the beginning part of the season. And if there isn't a third guy that I can rely on, like I thought Pajemski could be, to give you points specifically, you cannot sit Jonathan Kuminga. You cannot DMP that guy. There's no excuse for that.
Joe's in Seattle. Wants to talk about Steve Kerr. Joe, what's up, man? How we doing in the PNW?
Evan, Dan, if you're good, I'll give you a bottle of my marinara. I still have it for you.
Where the hell have you been?
I've been lurking in the Pacific Northwest. I moved up here a couple of years ago, but I listen every week. And I'm trying to allow the Bay Area guys to have their takes. But some of these loco takes, and if you allow me to be serious for just a little bit here.
Okay.
To the gentleman who said that this was a hit job on JK, show some respect. Steve Kerr's father was assassinated. Steve Kerr's father was the real victim of a real hit job. you couldn't give your kid some advice. Well, Steve Kerr never got to get his father's advice because his father is dead. So let's tone it down. We may not like and agree with Steve's decision, but it's a basketball decision. It's not a personal one. It's not conspiracy, not about contracts. He may prove to make a terrible mistake by doing this, but it's purely a basketball decision. And that's, we're going to have to ride it out. You know, what else is there to say?
I got you, Joe.
But this, these tone down these crazy things, and it's not a conspiracy, and go Dubs. Talk to the other guys. I'll call back in, Dan. I got some marinara. I got some cacio e pepe for you. Mm. Everything's ready to go. Just it's all ready to go.
Look forward to it, buddy.
Oh, my God. I'm salivating.
Cacio e pepe. Cece's cacio e pepe. I'm telling you, man. Off the hook.
What?
It's a pasta.
What is it? Well, I understand it's a pasta.
It's a cream-based, basically just rich, very high caloric.
Like our own Steven Risotto?
Pasta.
I was just going to say, what? I looked up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, bad choice of words by the caller, but I don't.
Yeah. Look, yeah, we don't have to go down that road. All right. I want to get Jonathan in San Francisco in here. Jonathan, what's up, man? You feeling good about this series?
Oh, yeah. You know, I recognize the Rockets' talent. You know, you don't just walk into a number two seed and win all those games without talent. But that said, hey, you need a dog running his mouth. That's all our guys need, man. They're going to get Goon up, Draymond Green, and Goon up, Jimmy Butler. Because what he said, we're soft, we're pretty boys. That's bulletin board materials, man. I'm going to give them one game. We're going to get one game where the basketball's not just, it's not going into our waters, but it's going to be a gentleman sweep because he ran his mouth. And for a coach to feel like he needs to get involved, he knows deep down his heart and through his bone, he knows it's a mismatch. Because they may be talented, but they're not ready, and they don't know what the playoff is all about. You know, the playoff Jimmy is for real. You know, Miami made a mistake, letting him go, and we're going to get a real hungry Jimmy to cement his legacy. You know what he needs is a ring.
Thanks, Jonathan. Yeah, well, that would definitely put him in a different echelon. But you can't overlook the Rockets. You just can't. I'm sorry. A gentleman's sweep, and I understand you're speaking with a lot of confidence and you love the team, and that's all well and good. I think this is going to be a deep series. I don't know whether it's, you know, 6 or 7. It's going to be taxing. Like the Rockets, if the Warriors are able to overcome them, they're the kind of team that is going to take a pound of flesh. And that's also why I think you got to get them this year, because the Warriors aren't getting any younger. They're best players, and the Rockets are just getting older and moving into their prime. And it's an opportunity to catch them in an inexperienced position. The Warriors have some of those players too, but Houston is moving in a northern direction. Their stock is rising. And the Warriors, by virtue of their best three players, their stock is probably going in the other direction.
One of the key players in all of this isn't a kid, and it's Fred VanVleet, because he's the one calming influence that they have on this team, and he's been good for them, but he's the one veteran.
I can't stand
him. He's the one veteran. Shout out Shockers, Wichita State. But he's the one guy that he's been there, obviously, with Toronto, and he's beaten the Warriors, but he's a guy that he calms them down, and they rely on him. And when Houston, it wasn't coincidental that when Houston really struggled is when he wasn't available for that month and a half of the season. So they're a much better team with VanVleet. Not to mention, he's another guy who's very good defensively.
If that's the leader of your team, I'm not as afraid. And this is honestly why I think I favor the Warriors in this series. Who's their guy? Who is the Rockets' guy? I agree. And to me, the series in many ways is going to be decided by that matchup. Alperen Şengün against Draymond Green. I think Draymond is as equipped as anybody to try and not neutralize him completely, but make his life difficult. And Şengün has had some good games against the Warriors this season. But if Draymond is able to win that five matchup, I just don't see how the Rockets get it done, because I don't think that Jalen Green is that guy. Fred VanVleet, while he's had some big moments in the postseason, specifically against the Warriors, is not that dude. And Amen Thompson is offensively not there yet. So that's why I think that if you get to a final 5 minute clutch time situation, I know what the Warriors are going to do. I have no clue what the Houston Rockets are
doing. And they've struggled with that all year long. It's not only in crunch time, but it's in those half court sets. Who do we give the ball to? Who are we running action through? And they struggle with that. It's why they're one of the worst in the NBA. And to get back to get back to Draymond and Şengün. And Şengün fits that Draymond Green profile where he's
European.
He's European. He's from overseas. He's bigger than Draymond, which means that he will get punched at some point during this series.
I say that facetiously. A little tongue-in-cheek there. We got to hit a break here. We're going to give our predictions on the other side. If you want to get in on the conversation about the Warriors and the Rockets, no, I'm going to take a plier and pry that prediction out of you like a molar, as if I was a dentist.
Is that how they're doing it these days?
I don't know.
Pliers. That's like they used to do that in the Three Stooges. I think
they did that when they had no other choice and didn't. And they lacked modern medicine. I'm going to give you some medicine on the other side. How about that? I'll cure you of your preview woes.
Wedding today. Be nice.
It's not our wedding.
It's Wedding Crashers.
All right, I'll be Owen Wilson. You can be Vince Vaughn. How about that? You get the gift of gab. All right.
I'll be the cameo by
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell, yeah.
Mom, the meatloaf. Never know what she's doing back there. All right, we'll be back after this on 95.7 The Game.
We want it now. The meatloaf. Ma, the meatloaf.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
So I pause as the best in the biz. It just is. Will Ferrell, Wedding Crashers, iconic.
What's she doing back there?
I don't know. I don't really know what she's doing. What does she do? You still live at home with your mom? Oh, yeah, it's great. Oh, my God, I'm salivating. Well, that was over some Italian dish that I didn't know about. I think it was Joe called in. He said he's going to get us some marinara sauce.
Oh, the cacio pepe.
Yes, the catch your own pepe.
Come out to New York and see some whip you up a plate.
Dude, NYC, like I've
been some gravy.
I've been all over the country. I've lived in 7 states. I've very seldom been to NYC. I feel like it's the place that everyone goes, and I'm like the only person who hasn't been. Oh, thank you, Steve. I'm the only person.
Now you got him going. He's going to be dropping every 30 seconds.
The only person who hasn't really spent a whole lot of time there as an adult, and I've been literally everywhere else. Like I've been to every small town you have never heard of, and yet I haven't been to NYC.
Hey, you're a small town guy. You're like Steve Kerr. You just stay in your lane.
Little Stevie Kerr.
Do what it is that you think people want you to do or expected of you. Hell, don't play Jonathan Kuminga. Don't go to New York. Stay out in Greenville, North Carolina.
By the way, before we get, Greenville, no. I don't know if I can live in Greenville.
Greensboro?
Greensboro, absolutely. That's where my uncle lives right now. He lived in Brooklyn for 40 years, down near Red Hook, Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's a beautiful area.
He moved to Greensboro. I just saw him on the recent trip. Like, is there any part of you that misses the city? He goes, no, absolutely not. I got a yard. He's got a dog. He's got a parking spot. He's got all of these simple amenities in life that are just unafforded to you when you live in the city.
Yeah, no, it's sort of the Woody Allen sort of way of attacking life in New York. You either stay there and you don't leave, like Kevin Bacon, Woody Allen, or when you do leave, you never go back. You're like, holy crap, this is out here? Why was I living there?
Well, I don't mind living in a city. Like I love San Francisco. I love living here. I've lived in Coal Valley. I've lived on the west side. I live in the Mission District right now. I love where I live. But it's not really a massive metropolitan area. Like, you can have the sort of small town feel if you want. You can get away in these parks. You can go outside the city. All of that is very accessible. Whereas I feel like if you're in New York, I don't know. I've never lived there. But it does seem like, if you're in it, that's the life you're living. You got no other choice.
That's it. You can go to, maybe you can escape and, you know, find a patch of green grass in Central Park. That's about the extent of it. By the way, last shout out, New York City.
Okay.
Barney's Green Grass. Are you a bagel guy? Your bagel eggs and sort of lox and bagel and lox and
Oh, absolutely. White fish. I usually have to make my own because there's not a lot of places in San Francisco that make.
Well, I'm telling you.
Or man, the lines are out the
You can't
Yahoo.
Get a bagel in San Francisco and you can't get a pizza slice in San Francisco. Both of which Barney Greengrass and the Upper West Side.
You can.
Well, I mean, dude, you're drunk at 4 a.m. You'd eat anything.
I'm not. You try to paint me in this light. You know what? Fine, let's go there. The only thing that I had an issue with last night during my tour was we got to be. Pool table etiquette has fallen off a cliff in this particular city. You cannot get ran off a table by yours truly and then tell me that you're leaving because I take too long to play. That's not the way that you show respect to someone who just waxed you. There was one game, Dan, the first one where I turned him around, he didn't get to touch the table. I literally ran the table.
Really?
Yes, he didn't get a shot. And yes, I was feeling it last night, but then you can't come tell me that I play too slowly. Put the ball in the hole. I'm the Los Angeles Clippers. I play slow. My pace of play is not very high.
Where do you go to play pool in the city?
All around. Last night I was in the Hate, but all around. Yeah, it doesn't really matter. As long as the table, the felt is not skewed, then we're doing good.
I can play, so you and I should definitely, you know, do it up. Just not a pool. I like playing billiards, somebody's house. But if I'm at a bar, I don't want to be distracted from alcohol and conversation. Like, I think that's what the bar supplies. Like, you sit there, you talk, and as you drink more, you get more bold with your stories. Maybe you embellish things. And if you're single, you get that liquid courage to go talk to some girl that you otherwise would not. That's the extent of a bar. When I'm playing pool, it's like someone turns on the TV. It's like, yeah, I'll go to a sports bar, but then I'm like, yeah, I'm a little distracted here. Like, I need to sit there. I'm very linear. Bartender, alcohol, me, conversation. Boom. End of story.
Yeah, but you're a little more extroverted than I am. I feel like you enjoy those kinds of conversations. Not that I don't, but I do enjoy having a game on. At least there's something to, if I get into a little more of a quiet mode that I can engage with. Maybe not the broadcast doesn't, I don't really care. I don't have to, like, listen to games. But just having a game on is nice. So you can kind of drift between the conversation and have some sort of relief in case your conversation with, a nice young lady doesn't go as planned and she essentially gives you the cold shoulder. I still have Obi Toppin.
Yeah, so then you just put your head up and look at the screen and say, oh, I was never very interesting to begin with. I'm just, you know, keeping an eye on the
game. It's better than opening the weather app.
did I miss something?
Oh, I love the randomness of pasta.
Pasta, where did that come from?
So if you're, I'm with you. As if you're at a bar and you don't have a TV, you got to play with your phone, right?
You've never heard of that, Evan? We're like,
pull
when you're
out
bored.
The weather app?
Yes, people actually do that. They pull up the weather app. You know, when they're bored and they're somewhere.
I thought it was like a sign. Like, oh, I don't want to talk to you. I'd rather look at what the temperature is outside of a bar.
Well, that's the beauty of a bar. If you don't have the distraction of a pool table or a jukebox or a television, yeah, is that you've got to sit there. And if there's other people of the opposite sex or somebody you're interested in, it's just eye contact. It's awkward, but you're in the game, man. Or you're that guy at the end of the bar is just throwing back cocktails and talking to the bartender and letting him know about all the difficulties in your life.
Well, I kind of like sidling up to generally older individuals, whether they're men or women, because they always have stories. Like, I was talking to this guy from Monaghan, Ireland yesterday at the bar, and he lived in San Francisco for 15 years, and he's taking me down all these different places in Ireland to go and telling me about stories from 580 AD and these different structures that are built and the time of year to travel to Ireland. I love learning about people's stories and their history.
So I would suggest any bar in New York, especially PJ Clark's. There's a chain of them in New York. You sit down, anybody at that bar, nobody's with anybody. They're all a bunch of men, women, or by themselves that are regulars. and you sit down and pick their brain, anybody, and it'll be the most fascinating conversation. Speaking of which, let's get back to the Warriors.
Yeah, let's do it.
How are you doing here?
Yeah, well, you mentioned in New York. Yeah, you want to quickly go around these postseason series and tell me what you think?
No.
Well, we're going to do it anyways. Let's start in New York, Dan. How do you feel about the Knicks?
Go, Detroit. Go, Detroit. Go.
I thought you were a Knicks fan. You sit courtside at MSG with Ben Stiller.
I wish. No, I think.
Or ringside.
They can't beat good teams. And Detroit's very similar to that, I think, of Houston.
I agree.
And so are they a little bit ahead of schedule here? I mean, that's another team that.
Well, they have what? This is one of the greatest turnarounds in NBA history. A team that was historically bad last year and now is a sixth seed. The difference between them and Houston, quite honestly, is they have a guy. Like, they have their guy.
Yeah.
Cade Cunningham is their dude. He is very, very good. And the Houston Rockets, while they have a compilation of scores, I do not look at Jalen Green most certainly in that light. I like the Knicks to win, but I think it's going to be a long series. Do you see any upsets in the East? We got Cavs, Heat, Knicks, Pistons. I guess you like the Pistons, and then Celtics, Magic.
No.
Pacers, Bucks. You think the Bucks will beat the Pacers? I kind of like Milwaukee.
I kind of like Indiana. The way Indiana's
down 25.
Been playing, yeah, the way Indiana's been playing over the last month, that's one of the best teams. And they almost caught the Knicks for the 3 seed. They're really good. But Halliburton's kind of weird in the postseason. Because especially against the Knicks last year, he has games where he's Tyrese Halliburton, and then he disappears. Like, there were a couple of games where he had single digits and wasn't shooting.
Well, I think he struggles against teams with physicality. Like, it's a little Curry-ish early in his career. Like, that first postseason run, you saw him get off against Denver. And then the Spurs, with some of their older, you know, more physical players, they were able to frustrate him really after game one. And so that's I think, something he's run into. Yeah, by the way, he also got benched by Steve Kerr in the Olympics.
Well, by the way, you always have to pull for a team that has T.J. McConnell on it. He's just a survivor.
Dude, T.J. McConnell, I know you like him because he went to Arizona, but T.J. McConnell is, I was looking at the stat, for, he takes, like, the closest shots to the rim of, like, almost any player in basketball, and he's 6'1".
I know, I love
him. He just kind of, Steve Nash dribbles into the paint and takes these, like, 8-foot fadeaways, and his average length of shot is one of the shortest in basketball, even though he himself is one of the shortest players in basketball.
He's kind of like Pat Spencer, but he's made a career out of it.
Or Cam Spencer. In the West, OKC Grizzlies, 1-8. Any chance for Memphis?
I think Memphis gets a game.
Gentleman's sweep.
I mean, is there any chance for them to beat OKC? No.
Oh, I thought they were too young.
It's going to happen, but it's not going to happen in that first round.
Okay.
With Memphis.
All right. Lakers, Timberwolves.
Wow.
3-6. God, all the Western series.
That's a good series. That's a really good series.
Might not even be the best series.
That'll go pretty deep.
I agree.
And that's what you're hoping, right? If you're the Warriors and you're able to advance to the semis, you want both Minnesota or the Lakers, whatever team that you're going to face, you want them spent.
Well, that's why we talked about this a little bit off the top of the show, and I'll reiterate it for people who have filed in since or are listening now in the last hour. If you're a Warriors fan, this is the perfect playoff scenario for you. You get a young, inexperienced Houston team in round one, and if you win, you play either Minnesota, who you're 3-1 against, or the Lakers, who look like a very different team and a bad matchup for you, or a good matchup for you, sorry, now without Anthony Davis, and instead it's Luka Doncic. This has, if the Warriors cannot make a deep title run or a postseason run this year with this kind of setup, they are going to have to beat one of Oklahoma City, Denver, and the Clippers, the three teams that they have struggled against the most this season. That's it. So everything has laid out perfectly for them. And I know they had to thread the needle by winning that 7-8 play-in game. But everyone has got to feel like this is set up for them to do some special things.
So the one thing about Minnesota, we know that it's going to be Ant-Man. And hopefully, again, we get back to the battle scars. And you have to have gone through it at least a couple of times. Remember him a year ago. where he just was not comfortable being in games like that in the game seven against Dallas in the Western Conference Finals and just sort of disappeared. But once you get past him being your number one, is it Julius Randle you're putting the ball in? Naz Reid? It gets a little dicey from that point forward.
Yeah, but I think that Ant is so great that he could be the best player in that series.
And I mean, you know what he does
That's what
now?
You need him to be. Plays defense?
Well, no, it's just three-point shooting.
Oh, yeah.
He's a volume.
He takes like 15 a game.
He's huge.
He takes so much. Actually, I think that's kind of one of his weaknesses. He gets three happy, but
that's part of what's, you know, in a larger picture, it's sort of what's wrong with the NBA is that Ja Morant, too, is incorporating shooting more threes. I want to see Ja Morant going to the rim. I want to see Ant-Man taking someone off the dribble and throwing down on two dudes. But that's sort of dialed back because these guys are now like, well, it's all about making threes. That's sort of the way the game is played these days. I think we lose a little bit there.
Yeah, I like the Lakers in that series. I just think LeBron and Doncic in particular has just, I mean, last year what he did to the Wolves in the Western Conference Finals was incredible.
He's playing really well now.
He's
going to
eat Gobert.
But the thing about L.A. now, it's not just a two-headed monster. You have to put Austin Reeves, got to get top billing, man. That's a three-headed monster now. He's real this year.
And they play better when they go small. And they just put basically five wings on the floor. Reeves more of a guard, but, you know, with Dorian Finney-Smith, they play well. Hachimura now. They're a formidable team. Who do you like in the, before we get to the Warriors and the Rockets and wrap this bad boy up, who do you like in the Denver, the Nuggets-Clippers series?
Wow.
I think that's the best first-round matchup.
I think that if Kawhi continues on this trajectory and doesn't get hurt, I think that's a tough team to beat. It really is.
They have all the makings of a not just a team that can win a round, but a team that could potentially win a championship. You have a verified postseason badass in Kawhi Leonard, who's done it in multiple locations. You have, I think, well, and he is, a championship head coach.
Yeah, by the way, when you say he's done well in the postseason, he's like historically one of the greatest to do it in the postseason. Like, if you look at his numbers, they're off the charts. Like, he is Wilt Chamberlain-esque in the not good, like ridiculously good.
He elevates his play the way that Jimmy Butler does. Only Kawhi Leonard's a better basketball player, with all due respect to Jimmy Butler. That's just the difference. And now James Harden doesn't have to be the leader on that team. Zubats is looking like an animal. And again, they have a championship head coach. Like, they also have I think they have a couple of really good coaches on their staff, too. But, yeah, the Clippers are going to be tough.
Oh, yeah. Van Gundy's a good coach.
Oh, yeah. Them.
Like, Van Gundy is, to see Van Gundy back in the, like, center stage and not
behind
a mic.
I miss him on the broadcast.
I do, too. I really do.
But, oh, the NBA Finals are going to be a rough listen this year.
I think
he's
sort of dizzy. I want to say he's taking care of the defense for LA, but he's good, man. Van Gundy is, that's a brain.
And I think that could be the difference in the series. I still like Denver. I just generally lean towards the team with the best player in the series. And Jokic is unreal. But Adelman is four games of experience under his belt, basically.
That's ridiculous. Don't fire a guy with four games remaining in the season.
No, I'm sorry. It sounded like they had to go. They wanted to do it before the deadline. Or before the All-Star break.
Oh, you mean
break,
the
sorry.
Package deal with him and Booth?
Yeah, if it was just Malone, I would say that's kind of BS, but you also fired the general manager. Like, it sounded to me like the Cronkies just looked at these two guys and said, get the hell out of here. I mean, seriously, you're making this a toxic workplace for literally everyone. Nikola Jokic didn't even stand up for his head coach. And in fact, he said, well, now the beast shall be awakened. Or something like that.
Well, usually those two are a package deal.
Give me Denver.
You like Denver?
Yeah, why not? Jamal Murray, he's back. He's going to swing this series. Give me the Nuggets. All right, Dan. Couple minutes left in the show.
I'm not going to give you a prediction.
What the hell?
But are we talking game one of the series?
Yeah, both. Yeah. Well, game one tomorrow, 6 o'clock, 95.7 The Game, lock in.
Yeah, I just don't do it, so I'm not going to change now. But what I do want to say, again, is how much fun this is. This is... And not to just localize it, but I think this is the series that is the most entertaining in round one. And it's sort of unusual for the Warriors, right? Because the lowest seed, I want to say, over the last 10 years was that 3 seed in 2022, and they won the title, right? And so usually you're playing, they had Denver in the first round, or when you're the number one seed, you're playing a team that typically you're going to steamroll, although it didn't necessarily go according to plan. But now when you're taking on someone like that of the number two seed and you're the Warriors, and again, all the subplots in this thing, I'm just so excited it's returned. I want to know, again, I'm going to throw this back at you, who's the first guy to get ejected?
First of all, that's the weakest prediction I've ever heard in my entire life. Second of all, who's the first guy to get ejected?
Yes, in the series. Houston and the Warriors.
I don't know if there's betting odds, but my guess is the favorite would be Dylan Brooks.
Really?
Yeah.
Not Draymond.
No. Dude, Draymond's been on pretty good behavior this year.
All right.
You know, honestly, first guy to get ejected, Udoka.
I was going to say.
Ime Udoka.
He can't get ejected, though.
Why not?
Playoffs. No.
Well, yeah, he can. They're getting ran in game one. He decides to light a fire.
Okay. If you're getting run, but you can't get ejected in a close game as a head coach.
No, I actually don't think either team is dumb enough to get ejected in a close game.
Okay, who's the first guy to lose it, then? We'll stop short of ejection. Like, they're going right to the...
To lose it? Pods.
What are you talking about? Lose it, I'm talking about emotionally. Like, come unglued. Like, be Draymond, but not get ejected. Like, to completely... In a presser is like, you know...
Oh, I thought you meant on the floor. Like, I could see Pods absolutely getting into it with...
Pods?
Dude, he's
pretty mild-mannered.
Yeah, watch the games. He does a lot of talking. It's mainly to the refs. But
oh, yeah, but I haven't seen... Does he get into it with other players? Am I missing something here?
He talks.
Okay.
He talks. Well, he doesn't back down, is the
thing. What does he got to do for you to like him?
Who, Pods?
Yeah.
I like when people are chirping. I don't know. There's just something about it. I told you, Dan. I'm jealous of him. Right. What can I say? It's the fro. It's the fro.
So go ahead. Who do you like? And tell me why.
I like the Warriors. I think they're a better team.
Okay.
And it's not as much about the experience as it is, I think they're going to be able to execute in the half court down the stretch of games better than Houston. And that's what's going to win them these games. The combination of Curry and Butler gives them both isolation and motion. And that's what you're going to need to beat Houston, because their defense is so tough. Like, one stat that stood out to me looking at this series is actually Houston contests, on average, the least amount of three-pointers in the league of any team. My guess is it's because they guard everyone. Like, the amount of threes that you get off against them is very low. And so they also don't mind giving the Gary Payton IIs, the Draymond Greens, the Jimmy Butlers, wide open threes. The guys who shoot the ball well from three, they will lock down and make sure that they don't get those looks off. And so I just think it's going to come down to them executing in the half court, executing inside the two-point line. And I think the Warriors have the ability to do that at a higher level than Houston. And that's what's going to win them the series. I'll take the Warriors in six.
I will say this. I do have a prediction, and sorry, it's going to go back to Jonathan Kuminga, and thankfully, we don't have to open up the phone.
So you're not going to predict the series, but you're going to get...
Yeah, if Jonathan Kuminga doesn't play...
Good thing we got 2 minutes.
If he doesn't have a significant role, you're not beating Houston.
I'll bet you on that.
Okay.
I also think that he is going to play.
Has to.
Well, I think it'll be early in the series, because the games are less important. You know,
But if he plays well, he's not going to get... DMP'd again.
No, but I do think it, like, all right. It's a game 7, winner go home elimination game, and Kuminga has not played spectacularly in the series. He ain't going to see a minute.
That's fair enough.
I just, in those games that you got to have, I don't see Kerr.
But if he earns his minutes by playing well early on in the series, you're willing to put him on the court in the closing moments?
No.
Wow.
No, I don't think he is, and I don't think Kerr is. Not necessarily about me. I just don't think Kerr goes with guys that he trusts. And I think that also applies to a further extent to Moody and Pods. If Moody's not playing well, he's going to close with Gary Payton II. because he knows what he's going to get from him. You know, he's more inclined to lean into his veterans in crunch time because he's seen those guys in big moments and he trusts them. And that is a big part of winning tight playoff games is you got to trust who's on the floor.
Well, if he's going to stay that close-knit to the boys that he's trust the most, what's going to end up happening is that Steve Kerr and the rest of that van filled with old men are going to be, you know, on a one-way ticket back to the Bay Area. You got it.
We can talk about this.
We'll pick it up next week. No, God, it's so exciting. Tomorrow!
Yeah, the playoffs are underway. Well, they already are underway. Yeah,
You like that?
Bucks and Six ain't looking good. They stink. God! And I wasted at least 15 minutes of this show and my life watching Giannis at the free throw line. All right, Dan, next time we talk, we'll have two games to discuss between the Warriors and the Rockets. Game one tomorrow night. Myself and Mark Grandy are going to have pre and post for you beginning, I think, at 5 o'clock for the 6 o'clock tip against the Houston Rockets. The 6:30 tip. It's a late game. All right here on 95.7.
It's almost like 5 days rest because it's so late.
Yeah, well, they get four off now, and then they get two between Sunday and Wednesday, and then Wednesday and Saturday, and we'll talk next Saturday. All right here on 95.7 The Game. Big fan of Dan Devone. A big thank you. I'm a big fan. Big thank you to Dan Devone, along with Steven Rizzotto. Happy early birthday, Pasta. I'll buy you your first beer sometime this week. For Evan Giddings, so long here on 95.7 The Game. You've been listening to Warriors This Week.